You're listening to Morning Edition from Red River Radio. It's a Tuesday, and that means commentator Gary Joyner is with us once again. This morning, he remembers General George Armstrong Custer's rise to fame and his tragic fall.
Few battles in the American West have captured the imagination of the Republic, been examined in such minute detail, and are still so misunderstood as the Battle of the Little Bighorn, or Custer's Last Stand, fought 138 years ago this week on June 25, 1876. This saw the famous boy general George Armstrong Custer lead five companies of his famous 7th U.S. Cavalry Regiment into the Little Bighorn River Valley in the eastern Montana Territory in an attempt to disperse or destroy a large Sioux Indian camp during the Great Sioux War. Custer had become famous during the Civil War as a daring Union cavalry commander. He was breveted a major general during the war, where he fought in the Eastern Theater from the First Battle of Bull Run to the surrender of Robert E. Lee's Army of Northern Virginia in Appomattox. He was widely compared to Jeb Stuart for his tenacity and veracity. The popular press in the North loved him. Dime novels depicted his exploits after the war, and the nation followed his every step. George Custer had his own public relations department in the form of his wife, Libby. After his death, she continued expanding his legend. She was so effective that it is still difficult to separate the man from the legend and the truth from the fables. Tragically, Custer believed his own press. After the Civil War, Custer commanded his, and he meant his, 7th Cavalry Regiment in the South during the early part of Reconstruction, before becoming even more famous as an Indian fighter in Kansas and then the Dakota and Montana territories. He was stationed in Louisiana, and companies of the regiment were in Shreveport, Monroe, and Alexandria, as well as in South Louisiana. The United States used cavalry units to a much larger degree than infantry units to keep the peace during Reconstruction. It was a company of the 7th Cavalry that was first on the scene following the Colfax riot in April of 1873. Custer was famous for his flowing blonde hair and his flamboyant dress, often sporting red scarves or wearing coats and headgear that were decidedly not military issue. He wanted everyone, friend and foe alike, to know who he was and where he was. It has been said that a great commander can lead his men into hell and get them out. Custer failed that test. When gold was discovered in the Black Hills, prospectors flooded into the region, and the tribes of the Great Plains revolted because those badlands were sacred to them. The powerful medicine men and warrior chieftains whipped the Lakota Sioux, the Cheyenne, and the Arapahoes into a frenzy, and the U.S. Army was sent in to protect the prospectors and the settlers. The Indians were led by their great warrior chief, Crazy Horse, after visions by their medicine man, Sitting Bull. The army tried a three-pronged advance into eastern Montana. One prong was led by Custer. He brought with him five companies of cavalry, and in the column were two of Custer's brothers and a brother-in-law. His weapons were the best the army had to offer, but were single-shot carbines. He had two Gatling guns, but he refused to bring them on his final sprint because he thought they were too bulky in rough terrain and would slow him down. Not waiting for aid from the other two columns, Custer charged into the Indian camp and found it deserted. He led his men to a series of hills, and there he was surrounded and slaughtered with 268 of his troopers. The Indians had approximately 1,800 warriors with better guns and more determination. Custer entered immortality on that hot summer day. People ever since have argued about his brashness. Hero or villain, his history matters.
Dr. Gary Joyner is an associate professor of history at LSU in Shreveport. Morning Edition continues now here on Red River Radio.